What in God's name is going on in here? What was that ruckus?
What ruckus?
I was just in my office and I heard a ruckus.
Could you describe the ruckus, sir?
Turn the fucking beat up!
What is that? What is that? What is that noise?
What noise?
Really, sir, there wasn't any noise.
Let's create.
Nah, not yet.
I'm ready to create now.
Nah, not yet. Hold on.
No, let's create now.
Alright, y'all, we up in this thing. It's another episode of the Skeetors. It is I, Big Papa Skeet, and
Big Mama Neezy.
What up, though, wife?
Hello, my love.
We got Big Baby London in here, too. So if y'all hear the little coos and cahs in the background,
yes,
you know, she just learning firsthand, potting with her peoples. You
feel
me?
And watching Dancing Fruits.
Yeah, that too. I want to start off, man. You know, y'all know, y'all be keeping the updates and stuff, man. The baby's good. She's growing. She's developing. So we ain't got no problems there. And we know Neezy started work this week. So pray for her, y'all.
It's not that bad, though. Like, I honestly just have to get up early and walk to the computer. So it's not that bad.
Oh, you good then. So what you, like, all right, man, whatever. So let me ask you this. Do you know what the, like, COVID restrictions or mandates are at your company? Because you haven't been there in 5 months. So that's why I'm asking.
It's the same as before I left. I mean, we started work from home, so it's no difference for us. They gave us a PTO day if you wanted to go get vaccinated. And you have 3 mental health days if you need to take those.
Okay. And then are you, as far as, like, are they mandating that people have to get vaccinated, like those people that work in your main office?
So I'm not on premise, so I don't know any of the rules for that. So it would be no way for me to even know.
I'm saying they ain't even send out like a company-wide email, because like our, like my
job, probably did, but I ain't been there.
No,
but it would be something, because like my manager, well, my previous managers, they're all on premise in Portland, then some of them are in Boston.
Gotcha.
So,
Portland don't give a fuck. You talking about Portland, Maine or Portland, Oregon?
Both. We got locations at both.
Okay. Because Portland, Oregon, like, they don't care.
But a lot of offices are in Maine. So they got like 3 offices in Maine, 3 different sites.
Gotcha. I only bring that up, man, because, you know, now the COVID vaccine, and we said this was gonna happen, we predicted it. I mean, everybody did, though, but like, it's coming to the point where they trying to like force people into getting the vaccine now. So
yeah,
like, I think, what was it, Australia? So what was going on in Australia?
It's Australia. So Australia is currently like, they're still kind of locked down, right? So they're slowly starting their phases of opening up. So December, they plan on being fully open, is what this article says. So it says starting October 11th is when like the phase is going to start for opening up. And if you are not vaccinated by October 11th, you're going to lose your freedom.
So they putting people in jail, basically.
So no. So basically,
what is losing your freedom then?
Losing your freedom is
chop your leg off.
No, right now they're like on, basically they on house arrest, right? They're all shut in. They're on lockdown. And so the vaccinated people can start to go out as of October 11th,
mm-hmm,
because they're planning on fully being open by December 1st.
So they doing that scarlet letter stuff? Or
the
like
people
they
who are not vaccinated, you can't come out.
You got to put the blood across your doorstep to for the angels to know not to kill you, like how in biblical times. Hey, you laughing.
I'm laughing, but yes, that's funny. Basically how they're doing.
You lose your hands, they're going to drag you out in the street
and
chop
if you
your
come
hands
out,
off. The no
if
hands,
you
man.
Come out and you're not vaccinated, you know, you got to deal with whatever their consequences are.
Yeah, no, that's wild.
Australia out here ain't playing, man.
Yeah. I mean, I heard, like, you know, other countries, they locking people up for that, and they making them get it. And if you defy it, like China and all that, they're like, man, they getting niggas out of here.
Yeah, so my nail tech, she is, her family's from Vietnam.
Okay.
And she was just saying how bad it is. Like, literally, she was saying her sister stays, like, two blocks from the grocery store, and she can't leave her home to go to the grocery store because she's not vaccinated. So she has to order her groceries. And now, because they is so backed up and, you know, they have so many sick people there and not enough vaccines, say if you order your groceries on Friday, mm-hmm. it takes her at least a week and a half to get her groceries.
Why?
Because they only have, like, it's only like a couple people who can make deliveries.
Okay. So it's not a food shortage. It's just
people are sick, and they also are having restrictions on what times you can be out.
Gotcha.
And then how long you can be out.
And you don't have no option. It ain't no way. These are my rights, and you're violating my rights. They gun-butting niggas in the face and dragging them off.
Exactly. And they don't have a lot of vaccines there because they're not getting them like how, you know, we have them here. So she said there's also people over there basically like, yeah, I just made this vaccine. This is going to help you. So they got fake vaccines going on.
I mean, well, if you leave it to the people over here, they saying that too. Because now they got that recording going around where the lady's saying that they pumping you full of HIV.
Yeah. And so she also said, like, you got your persons over there. You can buy your cards and say, hey, I'm vaccinated.
Yeah. Now, I'll say this, though. Because I know I made that little comment and stuff, but I don't trust anybody still. I don't trust this vaccine. I don't trust, but I just made the decision based off of the information that was given to us, right? But all this information is up in the air. You just got to pray on it, and you got to decide what works best for you. I will continue That's to true. Say that throughout this entire thing, man. Do what you personally feel you got to do. All of that, like, cussing people out for not getting it or calling people stupid for getting it. Like,
yeah, just leave folks alone.
Leave folks alone, man. Because now, I will say this, though. For the people who's the anti-vaxxers, so to speak, right? How long you think it's going to take before they literally start kicking niggas' doors in and putting them in headlocks and shit? Like, over here. Like, how long you think it's going to come to that? Because I feel like the way they doing it now, like, any company with over 100 people, everybody must be vaccinated. Like, they threatening people's livelihoods now.
True.
That's that basically true. Putting a nigga in a headlock.
It is. It really is, because now, you know, when it gets to the point where, like we said, traveling, you can't go here, you can't go there, mm-hmm. without being vaccinated, it basically is like they didn't set up here and just took away what you can do and what you can't do.
Because I feel like this, even if they don't fit, I'm joking, right? Even if they don't physically kick your door in and force you to get vaccinated, if they box you into a corner to where you have to be, like, you won't have a leg to stand exactly. on, right? Like, they not giving exemptions for, oh, you got religious beliefs and, oh, you got this and you got
They're
that.
They're not, especially if you got government jobs and you have, what are these? What's considered now these essential jobs. Those are jobs basically where you have to be vaccinated.
Hold on, because I heard some shit back in Detroit. Those nurses don't have to, like, they making them work with COVID.
Yeah.
But I'm saying, though, that means, so they ain't making it mandatory for essential workers. They just like, hey, get your ass to work. It don't matter if whatever your preference is, bring your ass to work anyway.
True. That is true.
I'm just saying, but it's just up in the air. We don't know.
You don't know, because then you have so many contradicting articles that's out here too.
That's what I'm saying. You can't even trust the information.
Exactly. Because then one article says that grocery store workers and
be rubbing their nuts on the grapefruits. Y'all be making smoothies.
It says grocery store workers have to be vaccinated in order to handle your food.
You be having that nut juice smoothie, man. How that taste? Get your day started off right with a little nuts.
Look, while you playing, you act like folks wasn't doing that to McDonald's a few years ago.
You want a kumquat smoothie?
Act like they wasn't doing it to McDonald's burgers.
Some niggas came all over your quat and then put it back in the produce section, and you drank it. And then you have to look at you probably listening to this pod right now with your drinking your smoothie fresh out the blender. Delectable.
And they had a little mix in your coconut water.
It's a little tangy. What's going on in here? Like, yeah, they done rubbed their nutsack all over the fruit. you talk about so you ain't gonna get the vaccine. You ain't know you was drinking nut smoothie.
That's nasty, though.
Hey, I'm just saying, but I say that to say, I appreciate everybody wanting to be diligent in it, because, you know, we were diligent, but these doctors been prescribing and giving us stuff for forever, right? And we've been taking it. So, and you got people that eat stuff and don't even read what's in the label of what they eat.
Sure now, do. Got folks who go to the grocery store and just grab the grapes and cherries right out the bag and eat them.
Yeah. Like, what was that we saw where it was the lady was like, don't wash your chicken because you're actually spreading the germs, the salmonella and all that?
Yeah, that's nasty.
I'll say this, though. And I can say this because we had, prior to the baby, before London got here, when we was all the pregnancy weight and all of that, we was eating super duper healthy. We still are. We back on it now because, you know what I'm saying? We on our weight loss journey again. You know what I'm saying? We ain't been broadcasting it because it's like, let's just get it. You know what I'm saying? But I say that to say we've been cognizant of, like, the things we eat, how we eat. And then even if we do, then the things that we utilize to, like, flush out our system or detox our body naturally. You feel me? Like, using the flaxseed oil, using the, we've got the cod liver joints.
Flaxseed oil.
Whatever. And you got a bunch of oils in there. I don't know what you be using. I seen that in the mix of all the other oils, man. Shit, I don't know. Grapeseed oil, bless oil. You know what I'm saying? Everything. Canola oil, vegetable oil, nigga, like... I don't know. But I say that to say you being cognizant of what you put in your body. And mm-hmm. I feel like, especially even in that first round, when we had that first round of COVID or whatever, I trust my immune system with the natural stuff that we have, right? It's boosted. You feel me? The zinc, the vitamin D, the vitamin C, all of those things, right, that you need. I drink turmeric tea, for crying out loud. And then I told you, everybody who I know who said they were sick or had symptoms and stuff, I said, drink this tea. It'll help you get better. The people who drank it felt better. The people who didn't drink it will still have prolonged things going on and stuff.
And
man,
that's why I always told folks about them thyme leaves. Those
I thought it was thyme.
It's, I've been saying it wrong. It's thyme.
It's thyme.
It's thyme.
It's an H in there. It's thyme.
They say the H is silent. It's called thyme.
Nigga,
so
fuck
you're
here.
Look here. If you're professional chefs, when Chef Ramsay say thyme and all of them say it like that, that's how it's supposed to be said. But anyways, so the thyme leaves and water, you just drink that, you make it into a tea, it clears out mucus right out of your system.
Do that, y'all.
At the end
of the day, get the mucus out of your system, and we'll leave it at that. We're not health professionals or whatever. We're just telling you what works for us, and it's just but a mere suggestion, my brother and my sister. Isn't that right,
it's yours, London? To accept or reject.
Yeah.
Hey.
You feel me? Ours to extend, yours to accept or reject. let's talk some real shit, though. So, Moneybagg Yo's girlfriend gifted him for his birthday 28.8 acres of land in Memphis.
That's what's up. Because, I mean, look, people, they can't take your land.
Yeah.
Once you own it, that's yours.
Well, not only that, but then Yo Gotti gifted him with $1.5 million. So, I mean, that sounds like a come up to me. So, you got $1.5
sure
million and you got some land. That's a lick.
There you go.
That's a lick. So, you know, we talked about on here before, like giving certain types of gifts where people like, oh, don't get no Gucci bag when you can buy land and a bunch of LLCs and all this and that. And so I said this too, because we talked about this a little bit offline. I fuck with it, and I think that that's a good gift to give. Like, who knows their relationship for real? Obviously, they on some boss shit, so salute to them. But we always talked about this. It's not about getting money. Not them. I'm just saying in general for us common folk. Because with the celebrity news, you got to figure out, okay, well, how does it pertain to you? Good for them, but what does that mean for us? I just say being more business savvy, having more business plans, understanding, you know what I'm saying, how to, like, wealth management and those types of things, right? Because... Yeah. You can get that and build a house. You could build a warehouse. You could build a farm or agriculture land. Like, it's a million and one things. You can
that
do all
you can
of those
do
things.
With your land.
Shit, it's 28 acres. You could probably do all of that. You can make a basketball court, a jungle gym, you know what I'm saying? A safari, bringing some tigers and stuff and let them run loose in a cage. Like, I just say these things like there's ways you can do this, right? And so as we go into planning season, or as we are in planning season, I just want to encourage y'all out there, you know, all throughout the pandemic when they was giving out PPP loans and all that, and everybody's, oh, I got my LLC, be a boss, don't go to dinner with Jay-Z, get $500,000. Now that you got your LLC, what you gonna do with it? You feel me? Like, exactly. How are you going to leverage that?
Don't waste no time.
The advice I could give to you is, like, you know, look into a product or a service, you know, mostly a service. I do the marketing stuff. But if it's legal, if it's accounting, if it's taxes, whatever, and then just freelance. Because companies are more likely to hire a freelancer employee. They could just pay you a rate, you know what I'm saying, per project or per hour. And 9 times out of 10, like, it's cool. Because you got to think, each company... When you are an employee, you're not only, let's say you make $50,000 from a company, right? You cost them $100,000 because the $50,000 that they have to pay you, and then all the stuff that they have to pay for your benefits and you know what I'm saying, all that stuff on the back end.
Exactly.
So if you are a freelancer, I could just pay you $50,000 and we could disperse it out over the length of 6 months. You know what I'm saying? We do a 3-month contract, a 6-month contract, a 12-month contract, and I could dispense that to you, and I only pay you the $50,000. And then I don't have to pay the other 50 having the, you know, the benefits and all that on the back end. So a lot of y'all, man, and I kept telling y'all, and I'm going to keep telling y'all, make y'all some LinkedIn pages, professional LinkedIn pages, and get out there and network and build a rapport. The recruiters will come to you if your resume is solid.
They sure will.
Tell them, babe.
They'll find you. Hey,
I'm going to teach a course on LinkedIn.
They call all day.
I'm going to teach a course on LinkedIn. But no. So we said that. The other thing I wanted to bring up is because this is all going to tie in. It's going to be a theme this whole episode. Because Shaq said Shaq said he's retiring. Where is he retiring from, babe?
Shaq said he's retiring from being a celebrity.
Did you say why?
I didn't read why. I stopped right there because it sounded stupid as fuck. You know. One, we all gonna recognize Shaq no matter what. He's gonna forever be a celebrity.
I met Shaq one time when I was a kid.
Yeah, and he's big as fuck.
As fuck.
Like,
can't miss him.
I am 5 foot. Technically, sometimes 4'11", depending on what shoes I have on. But I am 5 foot, exactly. And so Shaq, like, looking at me and then me looking up at Shaq, Shaq is like 10 feet tall over me. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. He is tall as shit. So you're going to forever be a celebrity, my nigga.
Yeah. I don't care what you say, bro. There's no ducking that. But a lot of what we finding is a lot of these celebrities is tired of that shit, bro. They wishing they could change. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, now they want to go back to living. They want to live regular lives.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Now if you want to live a regular life, make regular income too.
Nah, I don't think you have to do that. I don't think you have to sacrifice that. I think, and this is what we've come across, you know, in our line of work as we continue our trajectory and kind of our journey. You ask yourself, do you want to be paid or do you want to be famous? Because there's a difference. You can be famous.
There's a big difference.
I'm about to, you could be paid and be behind the scenes. There's a bunch of people.
Oh, yeah, you can.
There's, like, CEOs and companies, and you do a little marketing and stuff to get your product out there. Or you could hire somebody to be the front man of your company, and you could just sit back and collect the cheese. It's just really people's egos and stuff and wanting to be out there. Because, like, with me, I recognize that, like, I have to push our brand. Because you remember, you've been with me a long time. It was a bunch of times where I was just trying to be behind the scenes, play the background, and just empower, you know what I'm saying, certain people around me, or I had certain clients that I was working with that I was really trying to, like, push and help them be great.
Yeah.
But it's come a time where you got to run the rock yourself, right?
True.
But not only that, but just building a plan on how you want to, you know what I'm saying, how you want to, like, advance your life and stuff. And I only say that because we grow up in certain environments where it just sucks. Like, this past week, we watched the premiere of BMF. Right. First off, what did you think? What'd you think of it?
I like it, and I'm interested to see, you know, more of where it's going. But from the first episode, it's showing the real Detroit, man.
Yeah, you fuck with it. It was certain things in there. It was like, hey, that's like when my man's at the Coney, and he spazzed out and beat the dude up, and everybody was in
the
there.
Menu, yeah,
and then everybody just in there like just looking at him. He like, y'all cool? All right. Be easy, and he just walked out and went about his business. The jit music at the beginning,
so true.
The slang, like, because a lot of times people mess up our they mess up our stuff or they don't get it right. I remember it was a show, Detroit 187 or something, and the guy was like, "Yeah, we want a couple sodas and some Coney dogs." And
you
could tell they was trying to.
We don't say that.
We don't say no fucking soda. But and I say that to say, damn, what was I about to say?
Was that supposed to be the Coney Island that we went to? One that was like the one we went to downtown.
Nah, remember they a good portion of that story takes place in E-Course. Oh, I know okay. what I was about to say. So there was a scene in there where the dad comes home from working in the plant and the mom was like, you know what I'm saying, I can't make it, you know what I'm saying, like I fell behind and then the car went out, like, just, you know, we know these problems, we know these troubles, right? And he was like, ain't I making enough? And she was like, no, you not. It's fucked up, right? But you gotta think about it. You and now you go to work every single day and you bust your ass, your wife goes to work, she busts her ass, and it's still not enough. Mm-hmm. Y'all got three kids y'all got to take care of. It's still not enough. You feel me? Frustrating. It's
really pisses you off.
It make you anxious, man. Like, now, I don't understand how after he found out that they was late on the mortgage and the car broke down. Yeah, and they started fucking. I wasn't trying to see like, no old mechanic. You know what I'm saying? Old mechanic sense.
There's no way. You can't be horny after that. You just be mad.
Nah, because, hey, I will admit it. And, you know, in our relationship, when we first moved down here, right, we bright-eyed and oh man, Houston's gonna be great, and we went through a rough year and a half. First year and a half was rough, and niggas wasn't trying to have sex.
You was not trying to have sex.
I wasn't, and I don't know why you was trying to have sex. We broke, nigga. What are you trying to fuck? Like, no.
Hey, it was a good stress relief.
No, it wasn't.
For me,
nigga, then you wake up, and then as a man, as your man, and as the provider, and all that, I gotta figure out how we gonna get some money, and I'm over here getting butt. Like, you think, oh yeah, oh, sex was great, this and that. I go in the mirror, and you know, say, I brush my teeth before bed, stuff, and I'm looking at myself like, you bum. You don't understand, man. As a man, you just be like, bro, you bum ass nigga, look at you. Oh, you don't even deserve no sex, nigga. Go get some money. Get some money.
Wow. Hey, what's up, y'all? It's Neezy here. I wanted to make sure that y'all go and get your Naturally Nate Instant Moisture Duo. That's right. You know, this Instant Moisture Duo can be used on braids, locks, twists, beards, and all of your natural hair. The moisturizer is all natural ingredients. One of our key ingredients, aloe vera. You know, aloe vera is really great for your scalp. And our oil blend is a mixture of the best oils that you can use to promote hair growth and give your hair a good shine and overall just a natural glow. So you're getting two amazing products. Make sure you go to inaudibleruckus.com/naturallynay. And also you can follow us on Instagram at naturally_nay, N-A-E-E.
That's the thought process of a hustler. That's why I felt Meech. I felt what Meech was saying. He was like, man, nigga, fuck that. I'm trying to get us paid. You laughing because you was like, damn, that makes sense now. Bum.
No, it does not make sense.
Pathetic.
It does not make sense because we came down here with the same mindset. We both came down here knowing where our relationship was. So when you're going through it, release.
It's not that's
release.
That's not what you're, I'm saying to myself. Out. Myself is
clearly
not saying
that's
that
not
to
what
myself.
You was saying to yourself.
Myself,
you
not
was acting
that to myself.
Like Ronnie Grandma just told you. You was a bum.
You're not my inner self. You a bum. Like, nah. So anyway, but I'm the reason why I say this, and even now with London being here, and we done discussed this on this show a couple times, man. We need more black opulence. We need more black folks doing fly shit. And it don't have to be rap shit all the time. But like,
we need more black excellence.
What's that? So it's a couple shows. It was a couple shows on TV. What's the one we was watching with Morris Chestnut?
Our Kind of People. It's Morris Chestnut and
Morris Birdnut. Because dude is like, he's skinny out here now,
man.
He ain't
older.
Man, that nigga look like, look, I'm buffer than Morris Chestnut now.
Morris Chestnut is older now. So, you gotta count that there. We don't know what's going on, how his
That's
life
true.
Is.
Yeah,
too.
Don't make fun of my bad. I take that back. Don't make fun of people.
So.
Because people was making fun of Chadwick Boseman and come to find out, you know what
he
I'm saying?
He was actually sick.
Yeah, my bad, Morris.
See? But it's Yaya in there. Y'all remember her from America's Next Top Model.
Yep.
But it's about black excellence. So they're like this black family. Well, Yaya's not. She's finding out now. But
she a bum.
But Morris Chestnut and his wife,
Bam.
They come from, you know, high, and Lowe's cousin is in this too.
Bum bum de lum bum.
Lowe's cousin. Bum, he hates bum, when bum, I say that. Lum. Tell him who your cousin is, Lowe.
Who?
Your cousin that's in the show.
Lance Gross is not my cousin.
Lance Gross is his cousin.
I wish, but nah, I don't think
but
so.
But anyways, he's in there too. So basically, they're these high class black families.
I was just about to say these high class hoes. This is where my mind went. I'm sorry.
High class black families. And I mean, they own some black excellence shit. They got their legacies. They got the women has their own group that they supposedly call themselves, that they uplift other women, but yeah, you know how women catty. Get catty.
Look at her shoes. She
yeah, you
bum.
Know how women get catty, but then the men also has their group too. So
they walk in there and be like, "Bum bum."
It's
lum,
a bunch of drama
bum,
and stuff,
bum.
But it's still showing like black excellence.
One top bum.
And where?
Bum.
What town did it say it takes place in?
Somewhere in Massachusetts, bougie yeah. ass. Remember the movie? Was it Jump the Broom with Liza Alonso,
yeah.
D-Ray, Romeo,
Paula Patton.
Yeah, Lord. Was it Loretta Devine?
Megan Good.
They had everybody in there.
Basically.
The weird ass creepy dude that was playing on CSI, I think. Yeah, I'm a chef. And he was a bum too.
He be a bum in a lot of movies though. But they be like, but his eyes are so beautiful. Yeah, he a beautiful eyed bum.
Talk about. That's how these chicks be like. These chicks be like, oh, but his eyes are good. Or he got curly hair.
But you know what? To me, he looked like. He looked like he could be related to Michael Ealy.
Another bum. He
yes,
played bums in his movie, too.
He played bums in his movie,
bum
too.
Bum-ass nigga. Look, all right. Here's a message. Public service announcement. Disclaimer, man. Don't be a bum, okay? Just quit on that bum life, man. Boss up. Get you some. But I'm with you. I like the show. Of course, it's got its normal drama. What I don't like is they kind of got that same tired storyline of the rejected, like the how can you say this, the estranged child or the illegitimate child, that's what it is, the illegitimate child who's like, oh, I'm gonna get a piece of the family, I'm gonna get what's owed to me. And it's like, man, let them people live and go handle yours. Like,
yeah.
And she got like a natural hair empire or something. That's why you like the show, for real. You can take it or leave it. And then they started doing shit and I was like, this look like empire, I'm out.
True.
Out. Because it was too much going on. Something happened and something else happened and the police just showed up. And it was too much in one sequence. And I was like, yeah, they doing too much. I'm out.
But you know what? Another show that we were watching that's really good with black excellence.
Which one?
Sweet Life. It's a reality show.
Yeah.
About all the black kids in
California. How'd you find that one?
It's an Issa Rae production.
Okay. No, I like that one.
It was just something when you were scrolling through HBO Max.
It reminded me like College Hill or something.
Yeah, but you know what? That's what it's based off of.
Okay. But yeah, it's young professionals. Mm-hmm. Not young, you could tell.
Yeah,
but
like, all under 30.
Yeah, mid-20s, like 26, 27. I think the couple of the oldest people are like, and they like 27 or whatever, right? And you know that they all progressive. They in PR, they in music, event planning, you know what I'm saying? People own their own businesses and stuff. And I like to see it, man. I feel like, you know, where we come from, it's just hustle or die, right? But it's like, and that sounds extreme, but it's real. Cause it's like, you got to survive. But these kids, even if they've had it a little tough or whatever, they have been able to kind of like get in those spaces and advance their family lineage, right? Like,
yeah, they sure have. They're building their legacy.
But one conversation sparked from like mid-season, and it kind of carried on all the way to the end, where it was talking about, I think one of the dudes was like, his mom, he helps his mom run her, she has like an apparel shop, yes. Right? And they were telling like, oh, you privileged. And he was like, no, I had to work. I had to grind for mine. And it was like, but your foundation is strong, right? So they was arguing about what it was to have privilege and come from a privileged environment. And I used to do that all the time, man. I used to look at other kids, like, especially when we was in college and stuff. Like, man, y'all niggas ain't grow up like how I grow up.
Yeah, but they act like black kids can't be privileged.
Yeah. Well, no, they can't be. Well, what I think it is, I can speak for me. I was taught to have a strong work ethic. I was taught to always, you know what I'm saying, take advantage of whatever opportunities are offered to you. So if, you know what I'm saying, I got the scholarship to go to school. I didn't go into school and fuck off, right? I handle my business. If somebody vouches for me or gives me a letter of recommendation to give me a job, I'm going to, like, you know what I'm saying? I'm going to perform at the highest level at that job. sometimes, right, with certain kids that come from certain privilege and stuff, they don't have that sense of urgency or that sense of survival, or if this opportunity doesn't work out for them, oh well, I'll just catch the next one, or I'll just figure something else out. So I think somebody coming from like kind of my perspective or my side of the tracks will look at that as saying like, man, you squandering opportunities. If I can only have like one of those opportunities, or like if my mama owned a business and I did this and this, like imagine where I would be at.
Yeah.
But we all run our own race, and I had to learn that as I got older. But that's why I say I could see where like people are coming from with that. But I can also see the privileged person saying, well, like I was born into this. I still have a choice. I don't want to hustle. I don't have to hustle. So why would I have a sense of urgency and a sense of, oh, I got to get this or die? So and as I got older and had more empathy and also perspective and understanding, that's when I was like, all right, ease up off of people. Like everybody don't have to be all, you know what I'm saying?
Rough
like they don't.
And tough.
Yeah. So but I just feel like for our kids and stuff, you want to give them that option.
You do. You really do. And like I had that option growing up. So I'm not going to say I was privileged, but I didn't have to struggle as hard as you. You know?
Wasn't in these streets.
I didn't have to do as much as you did. You know what I mean? Granted, not only because I'm a girl, but my parents just lined it up certain kind of ways and certain things that I came from. Like, we didn't live in the city, so I didn't have to deal with city issues. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I grew up in the suburbs. I had to deal with suburban issues.
Yeah, which is, we know that's a whole
other
entity.
It's totally different also. But I didn't have to deal with every day you go to school, you got to fight.
Yeah.
I dealt with every day you go to school, am I black enough? You know, do these kids want to hang with you here? If you do too much, they can label you as ghetto. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's
a different level of social issues.
And then, like you said, you started working at a certain age to take care of the household. I didn't have to work. Mm-hmm. It was just something like, oh, I'm 16. I want to get a job to start learning this on my own.
Yeah. But
you know what I mean?
And the other thing to that is, so again, even in that right there, you get a job. And let's say you make $300 a check or something, right?
Mm-hmm.
You could blow that whole check if you wanted to.
It's mine.
You could save a little bit. You could spend it. You could go on a shopping spree every week if you felt like it. Mm-hmm. Me, if I make $300, like, I got to break this down. I gotta like, pay this phone bill over here. I used to always save $200 because I was making more than $300. But like I would always save no matter what the amount was, save $200 of it.
Mm-hmm.
Keep some for this bill. Keep some for that. I kept my phone bill paid. Keep some just in case mama needed. I only bought clothes and shit. Like if it was something I really wanted, I save up for it. But other than that, I only bought clothes at certain times of the year. The rest of it was just grind, stack, act like you don't have it. You know what I'm saying? Put it away. So I couldn't afford to like blow my whole check on, oh, these shoes came out. I was taught like if you want something, you got to wait until you could buy it twice before you buy it. Because if less, like I remember it was a pair of T-Max that came out. They had a different colorway. And they was like $89.99. What's that? Let's just say $100. There's $100. I'm not going to get $100 and go in there and buy those shoes. I'm going to wait till I have $200 and go in there and buy those shoes. Mm-hmm. And then that way, after I bought them, I still got some money left. You know what I'm saying? It's different versus just, and not to say you was doing that, but like just going in, I want this, I want that, I want that. Give me everything. And it's like, all right, I'm broke, but whatever. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? I get paid again and I'll do it again next week. Like, it wasn't like that for me. I had to be more fiscally responsible is what I'll say.
Yeah, and then, like we said, difference. But I always made sure, too, when I wanted to do that and splurge, I had that luxury of, hey, I'm going to just get a mall job so then I can get a discount and do that. You know what I mean?
I mean, I tried that. I wanted to work at Foot Locker so bad.
It's different.
I wanted to work at Foot Locker, Foot Action. So bad, and they was like, nope, we're not hiring no kids. We're not hiring no kids. I'm like, bro, but like, man, I'll be sad.
But then when you go in the suburbs, oh, we'll give these kids a chance.
Yeah, but I wasn't going to be catching no bus back and forth out to no damn suburbs for no damn job, right? I was not in the car. If it wasn't at Fairlane or Northland, then fuck it. And I wasn't doing it.
True. And then my auntie, she had owned she was like the store manager of one, you know, like those little City Trends, those little stores.
Mm-hmm.
She was a store manager of that. And so she hired like all of the cousins and we made $25 a day, every day you worked.
I would have been up in there every day.
And so I worked a little bit for her until, you know, they got funny. But
what was your very first job?
My very first job was fucking McDonald's, man.
How long did that last?
3 months. I fucking
No, that's pretty good. What did they have you doing? You was on the fries or you was wrapping
the
sandwiches?
No, I was on a drive-thru.
Oh, okay.
I was on the window, bro. Right,
so you was dealing with the niggas. You was taking orders or you was handing the bag?
No, I was taking orders. I was taking the orders and taking the money because I was good. I was good at math. My drawer was never short. All of that. Now they tried to train me on the thing, and I said, "Oh, I'm too girly for this. I can't be back here sweating."
Yeah.
Cause you know that's when I was in high school. You gotta stay cute. You gotta stay fly. So nah, I was like, I ain't doing no kitchen.
Yeah.
And it was like, can you mop the lobby? No.
See,
but see, then also my job, I got credits for school for going to work.
Ah, okay.
So that was
work study is what they call it.
Yeah. And so after that one, I was 16. Soon as I turned 17, I started working at the mall.
Okay.
And Kohl's was my second job, and I stayed at Kohl's all the way until I was like 20.
Okay.
And
so about 3 years.
Mm-hmm. Then I went to the bank.
Okay. Yeah, that wasn't bad.
Shit, I could not stay that damn McDonald's. I don't see how. Kudos to y'all folks who be out there flipping burgers, yeah, doing it. I did that one time, and I told you I got burnt on the grill, and I said, "Oh, I'm too cute to be back here."
See, so, all right. So you was working the grill, and that was extreme for you. My first job, and I think I said it on here before, I worked in front of a nightclub. It was this club on Broadway called Club Network. Right?
Yeah, man, but you was in the city. Like, what y'all got? Oh, shootouts?
No, but that's what I'm saying. So I didn't sell drugs, right? But I was still out in that element because, so I worked Fridays and Saturdays during the school
club
year. And then during the summer, the summer, I would work, you know, throughout the week or whatever. But I made $50 a night. That's how much that I was getting paid. So what I would do is, now, mind you, I'm still out there with the old heads. It's older dudes. It's little kind of younger dudes in their 20s and stuff. So I'm still the youngest one out there, right?
Okay.
It's cold some nights, so it's like some drug dealers. It's like you standing out there waiting on the cars to come.
So you did this in the winter too?
Hell yeah. Rain, sleet, hail, snow. I was out there.
Jeez.
You know what I'm saying? And then so a couple times my boss would have special engagements like at the museum or like it would be a wedding or something out in Shelby Township or like, you know what I'm saying, yeah, Metro Park. And I was on the team to go out there. My role was the assistant cabinet director, as I had it on my resume. I organized the keys and got it to the drivers, which sounds like some bullshit, but it helps on those busy nights and people, I'm taking the tickets and getting them in and out to the drivers. It was efficient as fuck.
Exactly.
So I created value. Therefore, you could break a little nigga off, you know what I'm saying, $50 a night. But I was also getting tips because people see a young dude out there and they're like, oh, look at this little dude.
Yep.
Here go an extra 50. Here go this and that. Celebrities.
He out here, you know, doing the work.
You feel me? So you getting extra money that way. I remember one time I started to make extra money because the club promoter dudes that like pass out their flyers and stuff, you know, they trying to hurry up and get in there. So they're like, hey, little man, why don't you pass these flyers out for me, like, you know what I'm saying, all out front of here. And I'm like, bet. I was like, if you give me some extra money for it. So niggas break me, I'm like $25, mm-hmm, and I do it, right? So I'm making $75 a night now. But the thing is, I realized when I was trying to hit all the cars to fulfill that obligation, I wasn't by the cabinet to get the keys, and then I was messing up the program, right? And
gotcha.
I was like, okay, I can't let my main job suffer from my side hustle. So what I did was, I was like, I found there was a fiend that used to like be out there or whatever and stuff. I gave him $7 of the $25 that the promoters gave me and paid him to take the flyers and put them all out there while
That's
I stayed
smart.
There with the keys. Exactly. And this is 13, 14 years old. So I'm making literally $75. My base is $50, but I'm making $75 to $100 like a night.
Mm-hmm.
Now, as a kid. So Fridays and Saturdays, you looking at, I'm already making, let's say $100 a week, I'm making $400 a month. But then I'm talking about these tips and stuff, I'm probably making $800 a month.
Yeah.
As a kid, right?
Because those is hot nights.
You feel me? But they hot nights. So, you know, there's yeah, chicks out there half naked with their ass hanging out, their titties hanging out. Now, I can say this about me. I was never sucked into the life as far as like, oh, look at the flash, look at this. Now, I'm out here for the money. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, we know because you still like that. You got that hustle mentality.
And when we go to the club, I don't be on that bullshit either. Like, I don't, you know what I'm saying? Like, I never got all the flash and the, I can't wait. I'm going to have a car like this and have a car like that. I don't care.
And you ain't never been the type to, we're going to buy bottles and everything for the whole table.
I grew up in it. I legit grew up in it and seen it, because there was times when I would have to go into the club and they set me up. One time it was like, we need you to go up to the VIP and grab this table and take it down to the basement. This heavy ass table, I weighed like 48 pounds, bro. This table had to be at least like 100 pounds, and it fell down the stairs and I jumped on it and slid down with it, because I'm too smooth for that. I'm too smooth to just, like, you know what I'm saying? And then the security saw me and they ain't even help or nothing, but I got it down to that basement.
Yeah.
And then one of the owners, you know what I'm saying? They tipped me a little something. But I'll tell you this. So I done seen the club get shot up. I done seen people like get thrown through the glass. You seen Players Club where they threw them out of the thing. I seen them throw them into the club through the glass. I seen a dude get killed out there. I seen a couple people get killed. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, you 13, 14 years old. It's a lot. You feel me? But and you're doing it because you're trying to just make some money out here, right? Because to your point, I don't want to sell drugs, right? Because the risk wasn't, because a couple of the dudes that I knew that was selling drugs, and we're talking small town. We're not talking, because everybody thinks that you just jump in and you just automatically become kingpin status. No, you a corner boy nigga, and you a rock for rock ass nigga, and you got to work your way up. The niggas that I know when we was growing up as kids that was the rock for rock niggas wasn't making as much as I was making as quickly. And I'm like, I have certain risks involved, clearly, because all that stuff that was going on around me. Yeah. But it wasn't that bad, right? And then afterwards, so let's say I go to work at 9 o'clock at night. The club closed at 2. I would be up shooting pool with the old heads till like 4 in the morning. Then I go home. You know what I'm saying? So, like, I'm wise beyond my years.
Yeah, you sure are.
But the hustle was there. You feel me? And I don't want my daughter to have to do that. If my daughter could work at a mall, at a bank, you know what I'm saying? I wouldn't recommend fast food. I did that shit in college.
Yeah,
that
no.
shit was, and it was, I was okay with it because it was safe and, like, you know what I'm saying? But it was like, eh, this is annoying. So, nah.
Yeah, no. Because I'm that mama who gonna be like, she did what? All right, yeah. I'll be up there.
But the goal is, I say all this to say, the goal is generational wealth. And I knew that I knew what I was working towards, right? And I was working for freedom and independence. And you know what the biggest thing I was working for?
What?
To make sure that I wasn't a bum. A bum.
And so that's why I'm trying to get Naturally Nate to the next level. So when she ready for her first job, she can come work with me.
Or me.
Yeah, or you.
She sat in on a conference call with me earlier today.
She
like,
did. She did.
And she was commenting and everything. I had her on mute. But like she was, yeah, they was responding. They was like, is there anything else, guys? She, hell yeah. Did she not? She really said hell yeah. It was more like, eh, yeah. But
she put her two cents in there. She said what she had to say. That's what she did.
Yeah, don't be a bum though. All right, we got to slide because it's getting late. It's time to put the baby up. Anything else?
We had no questions or nothing this week?
No questions this week.
All right, y'all.
Hold on. Wait, I do got one. So, how do you not be a bum? No questions. Go ahead and give me your
all right,
social
y'all.
Media.
So make sure you follow us on Instagram at naturally_nay with 2 E's. Don't follow that other person. And then make sure you go to inaudiblerecords.com/naturallynay and get your instant moisture duo. And if y'all have been using your products, send photos so you can get posted on the site.
inaudibleruckus.com/shop. We got the 5-time championship merch up, franchise mode merch, good chemistry merch, the God is perfect merch. You know what I'm saying? We got some more things dropping for the, because you know it's starting to get cold now, so we got some more things dropping for y'all. Also go to midnightclubmerch.com, check out Gross Power Washing and Cleaning if you're in Detroit, and then Muse Lux Aesthetics Beauty Studios. Make sure you check out Let Me Book the Territory. It's a podcast with E-Ray and friends of the podcast, A-Dub. Check out Smiles with his Music Impulse pod, man. We got stuff in motion, man. So y'all make sure y'all stay tapped in with us. This has been another episode of the Skeetos. Many souls.